From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude a message called Christ the Mighty Conqueror, part of this series in the book of Joshua. The text is found in chapter 11, which contains a summary of Israel's conquest of the land of Canaan. In this message, Dr. Cairns is pointing out a number of parallels between Joshua and our greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen that Joshua's mission was a picture of Christ's mission. Each one had one great mission, to secure the promised land and to lead God's people into it. Then Joshua's conquest of the heathen Canaanites is a picture of Christ's triumph over his enemies. Both Joshua and Christ faced great opposition. While Joshua faced human foes, the Lord Jesus contended with all the powers of hell. With his invincible might, Christ defeated the devil. The passage records Joshua's adherence to the commands which Moses had given regarding the land. In the same way, the Lord Jesus honored the law of God as he undertook to accomplish salvation for his people. By his death on the cross, Christ earned a perfect righteousness for all who trust in him, so that the demands of the law were fully met. Finally, we see that Joshua secured a temporary rest for Israel, for their battles were not over. The Lord Jesus has procured everlasting rest for his people, for in his triumph over Satan, our victory is assured. Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of this message in a few minutes. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Hosea chapter 14 and verse 8. From me is thy fruit found. Our fruit is found from our God as to union. The fruit of the branch is directly traceable to the root. Sever the connection, the branch dies, and no fruit is produced. By virtue of our union with Christ, we bring forth fruit. Every bunch of grapes have been first in the root. It has passed through the stem, flowed through the sap vessels, and fashioned itself externally into fruit, but it was first in the root. So also every good work was first in Christ, and then is brought forth in us. O Christian, prize this precious union to Christ, for it must be the source of all the fruitfulness which thou canst hope to know. If thou wert not joined to Jesus Christ, thou wouldst be a barren bough indeed. Our fruit comes from God as to spiritual providence. When the dewdrops fall from heaven, when the cloud looks down from on high and is about to distill its liquid treasure, when the bright sun swells the berries of the cluster, each heavenly boon may whisper to the tree and say, "From me is thy fruit found." The fruit owes much to the root, that is essential to fruitfulness, but it owes very much also to external influences. How much we owe to God's grace providence, in which He provides us constantly with quickening, teaching, consolation, strength, or whatever else we want. To this we owe our all of usefulness or virtue. Our fruit comes from God as to wise husbandry. The gardener's sharp-edged knife promotes the fruitfulness of the tree by thinning the clusters and by cutting off superfluous shoots. So it is, Christian, with that pruning which the Lord gives to thee. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Since our God is the author of our spiritual graces, let us give to him all the glory of our salvation. From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
I put this to you very simply. God has not forgotten His law. God has not abrogated His law, even for a Christian. But for a Christian, listen to me carefully, the only place God sees His law is nailed to the cross of Christ. There, satisfaction was complete. There, righteousness in all its perfection not only met the standard of the law's precept, but paid the full price of its penalty, and so satisfied it, as Joshua was careful to do what Moses commanded, so the Lord Jesus Christ fully satisfied the law. I want to tell you today that that is the genius and the glory of the gospel. That's what sets this gospel apart from every religion of man and every theory and every theology of man. Across the world today, millions are doing their best to please God and thus earn salvation. It can't be done. It cannot be done. If you have come into this meeting this morning under the delusion that you can do something to earn your way to heaven, to make an impression on God so that God will love you and God will receive you, I want you to be disabused of that idea without delay, for it will surely wreck and ruin your soul. It's no gospel to tell a sinner already dead in sin, keep the law and you'll get to heaven. What gospel is that? It's not good news. That's bad news. But oh, I want to tell you the good news. Christ died for our sins. Christ rose again because He had accomplished our justification. Christ's power is saving power because He has fully satisfied the law. As Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. By believing in Jesus, you obtain a perfect righteousness, even His righteousness, and you stand complete before God in Him who has perfectly satisfied the law. And then finally, as a result, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills Joshua's final action in our Bible reading. Verse 23, Joshua's rest pictures Christ's rest. The land rested from war. Now here's a very interesting thing, spiritually a very instructive thing. This is the end of Joshua's war. But read on in this book, and you'll find it was not the end of the children of Israel's battles. Joshua, in other words, won the victory, and he gave them the land. But the children of Israel had constant battles in order to enjoy that possession. There's the spiritual lesson. The Lord Jesus Christ has finished His work. He said on the cross, it's finished. Hebrews 10:12 says, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He finished His work. He has entered into His rest. Hebrews 4 verse 10 says, He that has entered into His rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from His. That's a verse that has perplexed many people. I'm very, very tempted to take off on a tangent here and have a little homily on Hebrews chapter 4. I'm not going to really preach a sermon on it, but I can't miss this point. We live in a day when it is the glory of fundamental Bible-believing churches to say, we no longer believe in a Christian Sabbath. That's Old Testament. That's law. And I wonder who ever gave anybody the right to abrogate one of the Ten Commandments. But anyway, we're told that's law. It's for the Jews. It's not for us. But Hebrews 4 verse 9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest. Now, the word rest in Hebrews 4 is a recurring word. But in verse 9, it's a totally different word. I don't normally use a Greek term in the pulpit. But to show you the force of this, that I'm not merely translating this in some sort of a personal way. What Paul writes is, there remaineth therefore a sabbatismos. Now, I didn't make up that word. That's the Holy Ghost's word. What is it? A keeping of Sabbath. Oh, I know there's a picture here of salvation and of heaven, but could anybody, if our translation said, there remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath? To the people of God, could anybody ever have said, forget about it, there's no such thing as a Christian Sabbath? There remaineth therefore a keeping of the Sabbath to the people of God. Why? Verse 10, because he that has entered into his rest, that is Jesus Christ, he hath ceased from his works as God did from his. And the teaching is very clear and pure and simple. God rested after his work of creation, and the Sabbath before Calvary is a commemoration of God's creation rest. Christ has done a new work of creation, a work of redemption, and he has entered into his rest. And from the resurrection of Christ, the Sabbath is a commemoration of Christ's work of redemption. So when you've foolish Christians who can't stay away from a restaurant on the Sabbath day because, after all, I want this day off. Doesn't matter, I'm making everybody else break the Sabbath. Or they can't forego watching the ball game on the Sabbath afternoon. Or they can't forego doing their daily work as if it were just like any other day. It is not the theory of a man. It is not the notion of a church or the decree of a council that they are contravening wittingly or unwittingly. It is the work of Christ's redemption that they are well nigh blaspheming. It's that important. I didn't draw those things together. The Holy Ghost did. He has entered into his rest. His finished work gives us salvation. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now are we the sons of God? Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. His finished work gives us salvation, and it will give us eternal rest. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Heaven. Eternal rest. Heaven, the home of the redeemed, all through the finished work of Christ. And of course, and this may be, as the Lord leads, something that I will develop more fully, Christ's finished work enables us to work and fight in the strength of His victory. The children of Israel still had many a battle. Each tribe had to live in the victory in possession of what Joshua had won for it. We are not yet fully sanctified. Christ has conquered our sin. But we still have to battle and overcome sin and lust and pride and temptation in the world day by day. Christ has broken Satan's head, but Satan is not yet bound, and he's certainly active in the world today. But we can live and fight in the victory. Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." So here's the parallel. It was a great lamb that Joshua took for Israel. It was a lamb that flowed with milk and honey. But it's only a pale reflection of what we have in Christ. Christ is our greater Joshua. His mission was greater. His enemies were greater. His conquests were greater. And thank God His rest is greater. He is our all-victorious Savior. As we contemplate God's Word today, and as in due time we leave God's house today, let this grip our hearts. He is the mighty conqueror. Today we celebrate His victory over sin, over Satan, over death, and over hell. He lives. He lives. That has great meaning for us. That's why we sang that last hymn by Mackay. A great, great hymn that tells you what we have as the result of Jesus living. Men and women, look, see the battle that Christ has fought. See the victory that Christ has won. See the throne that Christ has occupied. See the promises that Christ has given. Make sure you know Him as your Lord and as your Savior. Don't leave this place an enemy of such a Christ. Every enemy of Christ must perish. Every believer in Christ must be saved. Make sure you know Him. Waste not a moment in fleeing to Christ. What better place, what better time than this to flee and call on Christ to save you? And if you are a Christian, if you've caught anything of a glimpse of the greatness of Christ today, can you be half-hearted in His service? Can you pursue your battles in life with less than full zeal, with less than total commitment? We have a great Savior. He has given us freely of His grace. If we love Him, as surely we must if we have once caught a glimpse of Him, if we love Him, He deserves our very best.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.